Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Welcome back to the DL Gaming Podcast. We're here with Emilio.
Just barely.
Chi.
Hello, guys.
Chad.
What up?
And myself, Bobby. Whole crew here. Everybody excited?
Yeah.
Yes, we're excited.
You guys look awful.
I'm sitting next to the guy who basically said he was poisoned earlier and probably like projectile vomiting or
out of the butthole.
It was all pooping.
Either way, something's coming out and I'm too close here.
Now, did I dodge a bullet by not coming over last night and eating that ceviche? Is that what happened?
It might have been that, but more likely it was the hamburgers because the fire wasn't hot enough and we were all drunk, so nobody knew how to cook. I ate three raw hamburgers.
Yeah, in
you
everybody
don't know how to taste either.
It tasted delicious.
In everybody's defense, he had three. Everybody else had one. If you've never seen Emilio eat, he can put them down. So
sorry for the low energy. I'm in great pain.
He also did give me free rein to talk as much as I want this episode.
I did.
So,
which I might regret.
This will be the Flopsy episode.
The plug for today would be just visit our website that you can get all things DL Gaming right there. And also our Steam group has so much less action now just because everybody's jumped over to Discord. Join our Discord. It's awesome. Like, everybody's talking back and forth, sharing videos. You can set it to be as much, you can be as involved as much as you want or as little as you want. Like, you could turn off all the notifications and just deal with it when you want to. There's always somebody playing something. So it's just fantastic.
The website is dlgaming.net if you are curious.
Yep.
So I want to start this episode off a little bit with just a quick question. It's not a question in the news. Well, it's sort of a question in the news, but we're only going to do one, and it's going to be mine. So here it goes. There, I read an interview on Kotaku who interviewed the lead hero designer and one of the lead artists for Overwatch. And one of the questions they asked is, there's a lot of fandom with Overwatch and fan-created media, and some of it involves non-traditional relationships, you know, be it Mercy and Pharah or some of the other ones. They, you know.
Talking about porn?
Not like necessarily
yaoi.
Porn.
Like, yaoi is very popular in Japanese culture, right?
Yeah.
Where yaoi is, if you didn't know, what is it?
Two guys.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's not porn. We're not invoking Rule 34 here or anything. It's more just like in fandom, a lot of people have made certain characters in relationships with another.
Right.
Like Dead 76 is another one. You know, like that's not something they've actually created at Blizzard. This is all fan made stuff. So one of the questions he asked was, "Have you guys seen this? And what do you think about maybe having a person join the LGBT.
LGBTQ.
Yeah, the LGBT. And the lead...
There's a few more letters on
the
that.
The lead hero designer, Goodman is his last name, he said there is a character in the lineup that is part of the LGBT
Zarya.
Community.
Zarya.
Can I get to my question? My question is... If you can't pick Zarya, because that's the kind of obvious one,
a robot be gay?
Maybe, probably.
Yeah.
My question is, if it's not Zarya,
that's awesome.
because Zarya is the obvious one.
We just saw a picture of Zarya shooting a rainbow.
Which character would it be?
It could definitely be May. A high on the list there.
Okay.
I think.
What, because guys don't pursue her, she has to resort to women?
There's plenty of guys that pursue her on fan stuff. But,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. They like, you know,
yeah.
Going, like, unpeeling
yep.
the layers.
Or maybe a little thicker.
She's an onion girl.
A little curvier girl.
I don't think it's Reinhardt.
Tracer has some pretty lesbian hair going on.
Yeah.
Genji.
Are we just going to go through the whole list? I want you guys to pick one.
Well, Genji, just the way he looks, it looks like he doesn't have his dick anymore. So maybe he is the yaoi. And, I mean,
maybe.
He definitely has that physique.
I'm going to go with Torbjorn.
Because he's the right height?
No, because he's like a bear. He's probably really hairy under there.
Yeah.
But he's tiny.
So not as hairy as Winston, though.
He's more like a cub.
He's the cub?
Yeah.
Okay. And
Bobby?
Chi, what are you going?
Well, of course, my initial bet is Zarya. Second, guessing Tracer. Third, Genji.
Okay. Fair enough. Bobby, if you had to go with one?
Bastion.
Bastion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he's into bestiality.
That's true.
He's all about that bird, right?
I was going to go with Zenyatta just because he's kind of preaches love and
moderation. Everything.
Yeah. He probably
or nothing around. At all. He could be
asexual.
Yeah. Be so anyways, that is the articles on Kotaku if you're interested in reading what we're talking about.
Maybe it's Sombra.
It could be.
Yeah.
They also did mention that there's going to be a Roadhog Hook 2.0 look, so they might be doing some reworks on the Roadhog Hook. I guess some people have been complaining about it going through walls or, you know, clipping the head when you're underneath the car and stuff like that. So I also saw a video on the PTR, and Chi, you said you were on the PTR, so mm-hmm. we can talk about that in a little bit. I saw on the PTR they increased Farah's lift fuel by 35%, and I watched the dude flying for like over a minute.
I don't think it's a bad thing. It's not overpowered for her to fly. She's the most vulnerable when she's flying. It'd be fine if she could fly indefinitely.
Yeah, you think so?
In my book.
Chi, you play a lot of Overwatch. Would you be down with that?
I like that they are making it indefinite. I think it would make her a little bit more OP.
Well, she's one of the least played right now in competitive, I've heard.
Yeah, she is fairly weak, and when she's on the ground, I think she's most vulnerable when she's on the ground. So, because I don't know what her HP is or if she's more squishy, but I feel like if I'm on the ground as Farah, I'm fucked.
This does kind of come back to our conversation last week about how Tracer is only the only scout, and now Sombra's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But if Farah didn't have to be on the ground, you could kind of utilize her as a scout. You could put her in places people aren't expecting her and move her around the map. So,
speaking of Sombra, we had some errors about her abilities last week.
It wasn't errors last week.
We were speculating.
Yeah. So
she's actually played her. So what's up?
Yeah. So
and if you click on that, Bobby, it'll actually.
So with Sombra, I downloaded the PTRs and played on it. You don't want to do quick play because everybody's trying to play Sombra. So under arcade mode, there's a way you could do 6v6 where the traditional quick play rules where you could play more than one hero. If you got in here, they patched it. So you could only play one hero per game, just like in competitive. With her, so I would say, first, let's talk about her weapon. Her weapon, it is an SMG. They call it a machine pistol.
Yeah.
It's mid-range, and the further you shoot out, the wider the spread of the bullets are. So she's definitely a close-range hero. Her shift...
Similar to Tracer?
Well, they say Tracer's does more damage, shorter clip.
Yeah.
So hers...
And she's got a 60-bullet clip.
Yeah.
So gotcha. It's a pretty hefty clip.
Okay.
And also her right-click, or her secondary, is hack. So hack is important because when you right-click a hero, first off, it has a little bit of delay. It takes... How long does it say? 1.2 seconds to hack something. And if somebody's shooting you, it interrupts the hack. You could hack health packs and heroes. And hacking is basically like what I would call it, a silence. Nobody can use their abilities when they are hacked. So that's her main, that's the appeal to playing Sombra. Mm. She's a disabler in my opinion.
Nice.
And also huge. She's like an upgraded Tracer. She's definitely very versatile. Beyond hack, her teleporter.
On hack also, it also shows the health bar and ultimate status, right?
I didn't see that.
That's what it says.
I didn't pick up on that one.
I still don't understand what it does to health packs.
It locks the health pack, so you can't pick it up if you're on the enemy team.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it does it for a good minute. So what? And then you know how she has her translocator where she could throw it, and she could really throw it across the map. It only lasts for 15 seconds in order for you to use it and move it, but it's a great way to just move behind the enemy, go invisible. You could disable a health pack or just sneak up on an enemy, and if they're not moving, and you know how in the beginning people are basically waiting for the other team. If you get behind someone, I actually went invis. I came out. I did the exact thing. I moved. I got out of the base quicker. Went, teleported. Did invisible. Got behind their Lucio and basically headshot him from behind. He had no chance. And then I almost got the second guy dead. But then I could have probably, if I didn't use my teleport, I could have teleported back and probably saved my ass.
So it sounds like you can really chuck that thing like a football, like really, really far? Or is it more like a, like Junkrat's mind?
More like Junkrat, one of Junkrat's little balls.
And then the enemy team can also
destroy the translocator, so you don't want to make it so the location is so obvious, but it's only down for 15 seconds, so I highly doubt they're going to divert their aim to shoot the translocator.
And what you said was you could have teleported back, which means after Lucio, you would have had to throw another translocator back towards your way and teleport there to save yourself?
Movement, and yeah, if I hadn't used my translocator, I could have translocated back before I died. So it's like Tracer's, what's her ability where she reverses in time? Mm-hmm. It's just like that, but with location.
Gotcha.
And you only have a 15-second window.
Yep.
So it's kind of cool. And you can actually throw it up, translocate to the rooftop of the building, and kind of have that top-down spray effect. And who's going to be looking up at the roof, you know, of buildings unless they're looking for Pharahs? Like, this is, I know when we were speculating, I was like, wow, she's going to be all over the map. She's going to be able to do a lot of things in terms of, like, getting around and like, you know, hitting them where it hurts. Like me, I got rid of their healer, you know, the first thing before the timer even went down to unlock the contest point. And so her passive is very interesting. You can basically see through walls when someone is less than 50%.
Wow.
Yeah. So if they're below half health, you can see them and she'll be able to find them. That's really OP.
She's like set up perfectly to be scouting.
Yeah.
And then
like almost
too,
more than Tracer.
Yeah. And then her invisibility. So I guess I never counted the seconds, but I guess it lasts 6. But I swear there were moments where for me I felt like it lasted 11, and you could see there's a bar in the middle of the screen that will diminish it'll deplete when you're using her invisibility, so you'll know exactly when or when she's not invisible anymore.
How invisible is she?
She is completely invisible, but if you shoot at her, if you shoot at her, she's going to suffer damage. But she'll sneak up on you. There's no way to anticipate if you don't see her go invisible and you can't anticipate where she is, unless you have a Hanzo or a Widowmaker with the
infrared.
With infrared. So those are the only ways to damage.
Makes Widowmaker more important.
Yeah.
You know,
damage and detection are the only ways to really get her out of, her invisibility. And then her ultimate too is also really neat. I learned that the ultimate, it's just like her hacking ability, but it's widespread. It's called an EMP. So what happens, it's kind of like Lucio's ultimate where they have to be within LOS, I think, but it's a within a large area of effect. As long as the enemy is within sight, they'll be affected by the EMP blast. It doesn't do any, this thing says it doesn't do any damage, but the cool thing about it is that it will remove all shields and barriers, including Reinhardt, including Lucio's ultimate.
So everybody Zenyatta. Loses that blue part of their health.
Zenyatta's fucked.
Zenyatta, and then also Zarya, her thing. And it also mutes your abilities. So it's a really, I would say it would be a really great I think Sombra would be a great addition to any game.
I agree.
Because she could focus target, she could focus target enemies, and then not only that, like cutting anybody's abilities, like single target or mass, is gonna, like, it's all about clutching, like that, you know, that split second, that split minute decision with these games. So a good Sombra will definitely take you far.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Like a perfect infiltrator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what she was for.
So with my question is, with Sombra's amazing scouting, like she's a true scout in my opinion, how many people are going to play Tracer now?
Tracer does damage.
Tracer's like a lot of fun too.
Like a gnat.
I think they are
both of them, but probably not both.
But it's the same thing as like McCree and Soldier 76. Like they both are that kind of assault class character, but it kind of depends on which one you like better. Some people are probably going to like Tracer better. Some people are going to like Sombra. Tracer also can bring the damage, especially with her ultimate.
But the problem with Tracer is she doesn't really add that much to team fights.
Yes, and a lot of people don't, in competitive that I can tell, don't like anybody picking Tracer. And there are more bad Tracers than good Tracers.
Yeah, for sure. You got to
be really good.
You have to be good.
I've fucking blinked off of fucking walls.
I'm
killed
terrible
myself so many goddamn times.
We're still on last week's errors. Emilio mentioned Infinite Warfare, and he couldn't think of the voice actors. So I put the list together of actors that you might have heard of, or maybe this is what you're talking about. Kit Harington, the guy that plays Jon Snow, he's one of the main guys.
Really?
Peter Weller, who
girls
plays...
Girls love that guy.
Yeah. I don't, not really, but I was more for his brother, the Stark boy.
Peter Weller, who plays RoboCop, or played RoboCop, he's one of the voice actors.
Okay.
And then one of the main antagonists is actually played by Conor McGregor.
Oh, wow.
Which is his first voice acting role he's in. So I don't know how... I'm sure he does fine. I mean, this is Call of Duty. They're not going to get some scrub in there to do voice.
Speaking of Conor McGregor, I just got to say.
Spoilers,
spoilers. He broke UFC history. He's the first guy to have two belts in two different weight divisions. And there's talk
of
him
yesterday?
Going. That was yesterday. And he's going for a third one.
Yep.
Possibly.
Wow.
And the third
he's not
one.
Fighting that, again without equity in the company. That's what he thinks he's worth.
The one belt he doesn't have is the weight he normally fights at, right?
He has it.
Well, there's the 145, the 155, and the 170.
170.
He's going for the 170?
Possibly.
Oh, okay. To finish up the Infinite Warfare stuff, there's a zombie mode, and that mode has Seth Green and David Hasselhoff in there as well.
Oh, that's fun.
That's
so they have quite a few.
Yeah, for sure. Heavy hitters.
The last thing about last week's, we had the too deep, in-depth discussion about teams and is there can the players play in the home area if they're from
somewhere? Yeah.
The ultimate,
I got a little too excited about that whole thing.
The ultimate decision is what you think is good is never going to happen, and it's not happening for Overwatch.
Mm.
Players are going to play from other regions and come into the LA area and play for the LA team.
Right.
Yeah. Is how it's going to go. So that's it for last week's errors.
You're right.
I will continue not liking sports then.
Yep. It makes no sense. I'm done. You're silly.
All right. So on the radar, Tyranny is a game that is out, right?
Yes.
This is an RPG from Obsidian Entertainment, the same guys who did the South Park RPG and also famous for Knights of the Old Republic 2.
They're pretty good at making RPGs.
Yeah.
And this is their, I think this is their, it's kind of like a sequel to one of their to Torment, right?
I'm not sure which.
I'm not 100%.
I'm not sure if it's a sequel or anything related to it, but basically
9 out of 10, guys.
You like I said, this one's already out. We probably should have talked about this last week, but we didn't. I don't know how I missed it, but anyways.
So I heard extensive review on the PC Gamer podcast. Shout out to them. It seems just the set and setting. This is a lot of reading, guys. Like tons of reading. It's mostly reading. But the setting is the world, the bad guy already won.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
And you are his second right-hand man, basically. And he set you out. He sent you out to quell revolts and shit like that. And it's up to you to play it however you want. But sometimes the answer is taking out an entire city. Just kill everybody, and you could play your character however you like, or maybe eventually you're going to kill the emperor and
be
take
the
his place.
Tyrannist or whatever.
But yeah, he has one of the coolest fucking abilities, the emperor, mm-hmm. and why he's emperor. He can issue edicts, and if the edicts aren't followed, then if not A, then B. So if he says, okay, if you guys don't win this war, I will kill everybody in that entire continent, and they'll just die.
Wow.
Just by magic.
It's kind of like Death Note or whatever?
Yeah, yeah, like Death Note, but for entire continents.
Wow.
Yeah. So just that got my dick hard as far as for the lore. As far as the game itself, it's way too much reading for me, I already know. So I won't be getting this, but it got a 9 out of 10. Apparently, this is really, really good.
Metacritic 83, 84
This
range.
Might be next up on my list. I'm getting very close to beating Divinity, guys.
Wow. Who would have thought?
Well, Divinity 2's out.
It's, oh, yeah, I saw that well, early release, and it's only the first act, and I would be the
would
type
you rather
to
wait.
Wait.
Yeah, me too.
I need the full thing. I wouldn't want for my experience to be cut short or to be imperfect, really, than what they intended to release it as. So, but no, in terms of you saying it's too much reading, is there voice acting in this? Because what I loved about Divinity is that every single person has voice acting.
And done well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like when I was the goblins that are dying, they're like, they sound like goblins, or what I would imagine goblins mm-hmm. sound like, and mm-hmm. it's fucking
trolls.
Fantastic. Yeah.
So there's a couple different editions on this, by the way, also, and I
no, wait, my question wasn't answered, though.
Oh, what?
Is there voice acting or no voice acting?
I don't think so.
We're not sure.
Okay, we're
I think
not
it's
sure.
super
okay.
heavy on
I can't imagine it wouldn't be, though, because, well, what was the other one that came out, The Pillars
of Eternity, was heavy on text, right?
Who was that did that?
That was them. I think so.
Yeah, then that didn't have a whole lot of...
I think so, right, Bobby?
Pillars of Eternity?
Yeah, Obsidian?
I don't know.
Which was a great game, but it was just too much reading for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I got... we're looking at the...
It was then.
Okay, my bad.
I feel like with our...
Yeah, it is.
All the RPGs that I've played currently have voice acting.
Yeah.
Like, I've, you know, Dragon Age, Skyrim, Divinity... I can't remember the last RPG that wasn't a classic RPG that I've played that didn't have voice acting for everyone.
Because
I played Diablo. I even played Torchlight had voice acting eventually for everybody, too. So
yeah.
I think.
Do you continue with Skyrim?
I will be continuing with Skyrim. I'm just very focused
sure.
on beating Divinity. I'm very focused on beating Divinity.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah, we're
we
almost
can't do
done.
It. Bobby hates me.
I mean, who doesn't hate you? You.
Chad, do you want to take Bobby's place?
As your best friend?
He won't play.
Wait, no, I thought Bobby was his... your
gay lover?
Yeah, hidden secret lover or something.
The six in their 69, so to speak.
Three people complimented Bobby's voice this week alone on what do you call it?
So,
what were we talking
pros,
about?
His voice, and his looks.
Discord?
Cons,
is that what
Discord, yeah.
His okay. socks,
is
that what we came up with?
I don't talk that much.
Yeah.
But...
I never come across you on Discord. I'm in there. When I'm gaming, I'm in there. I never come across Bobby, though.
Oh, Bobby's
usually never in Discord.
Yeah.
I'm in Discord.
He's in there all the time, but he's always in in the Heroes of the Storm filled with five guys because they're playing five people in Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go in there and bother him. So
you should invite your HOTS friends to the Discord.
I do. We use that Discord all the time.
Oh.
I was on there like all day today.
And guys, don't actually... Chet's sneeze just made Chi jump.
Yeah.
That does
it. It's a very sharp sneeze.
Coming over to your place, I was crossing the metro rails, the train rails.
The ghetto.
And I was, since I was like kind of in a rush running to my 7-Eleven to get my extra large coffee, there was a woman in a wheelchair. Just and right as I was just about to pass her, she screamed at the top of her lungs and very
like
aggressive and angry. And it scared the shit out of me. And I felt bad because, you know, of course she wasn't sane. But secondly, I was like, how could I be afraid of a woman in a wheelchair? Like there's nothing she could do to hurt me.
Yeah.
So that's my little
There are a lot of loud noises out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. I saw the worst internet video ever. There's two girls fighting, and then this girl with no arms or legs got involved. So she ran her wheelchair into the other girl, fell on top of the other, and just started wiggling her limbs.
No,
it was terrible.
Stop.
That sounds
I am trying to suppress my laughter.
It was like throwing
Stop. Doing
a That's big, my fetish.
Jello on somebody,
That's
basically.
My fetish. Chad, get out of here. A giant jello. Okay. Guys, this is not cool.
The truth.
Anyways, can we get back to games or?
Yeah, let's talk about Paragon. About that.
Everybody knows how I feel about every game. So, Bobby, what do you think? I wasn't there for. I logged off for the game you started, but then I heard that you had a good time.
Well, when we're finishing up on Paragon, I'll explain why I abruptly left. But Paragon, for those of you who don't know, is a third-person, over-the-shoulder point of view MOBA game, a new one that has recently just come out in open beta, so a lot of people are playing it.
Which is funny, because the $60 version of the game came out for consoles, but it's just free to play on PC, so I'm not sure what the consoles get. That
well, it's cross-platform, so we're getting the same game, I think.
I know, but what are they charging the $60 for? Does that mean they've got more skins open?
Or maybe they get all the characters. I don't know.
The characters are all available.
Who cares about consoles? Yeah. But as far as the PC goes, it's your typical microtransaction.
It's because console players will pay for that shit.
Yeah. Well, console players don't get free games, ever. So that's
not true.
Can you do micro? You can do microtransactions on the console.
It's
right?
just like with Origin. Oh, maybe not free to play, but I feel like with Origin they give you a free game every now and then just for being on the network.
Right.
And that's what console games
consoles do that too.
But that's not like free to play games.
I don't know if console gamers are used to paying for heroes or characters or content in games, like an expansion pack. But PC, we're all kind of used to that, especially with MOBAs. But on this one, they give you, like, what, 6 free characters and the rest buy or grind?
Well, it's not via grind. You get them all unlocked by the time you hit level 8 or...
Every character?
Yeah, they're available. Some are... There's different... They list them as easy, intermediate, hard, or expert.
Yeah.
And they unlock... Which I kind of like, you don't want to get in there and have, that's what Dota 2 does. You get in there and they've got 60 characters available and you're like, what the fuck do you do? Yeah. So this one gives you like 8 characters to start. But then when you hit level 3, which is basically a match or two, then it opens up the intermediate characters. And and then you can play some more, and at level 5 it unlocks the hard and so on.
But they use 2 different types of currency, right?
There's an earned currency and a paid currency. The earned currency is basically used for their card packs. So you can, because the idea is you should be able to unlock all the card packs without paying money. Mm-hmm. And then the paid currency, you can either fill out your roster of cards using paid currency, or you can unlock other skins.
So the card packs is what I found unique about this game, because otherwise it seemed a lot like Smite. It's your typical MOBA. You got 3 lanes. People are pushing it up, trying to take towers, the usual deal. But instead of an item shop where you have to go back to base and buy items, you have cards, and the cards, I don't know. Someone explain this better than me, because I definitely can't.
Well, first of all, obviously the comparisons to Smite are going to be all over the place because it's very similar. Mm-hmm. But I must say that the graphics are way better. The immersion is far higher. Like, when I was running with my my minions, I felt like we were troops going to war. Like, it felt very visceral and real.
I completely disagree with the Smite analogy, because the only thing that's similar is the third-person perspective.
Yes, everything's skill shots.
Skill shots. I would.
Everything's a skill shot. By the way, there are non-skill shots
either. But you know, you have your lanes. I mean, it's a MOBA. You got lanes pushing.
I know.
Minions pushing up.
But here's the thing: Smite is a 2D plane. It might as well be. Right. You aim left and right. You don't aim up and down. This game, you aim in 3 dimensions. Also, the map is 3 dimensions, so people can be above you, below you, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's
does the that jungle make it more so it makes it more skill based, but does it make it more difficult?
Smite's not a shooter in the classic sense, meaning you're just aiming left and right. And you're not aiming up and down. Mm-hmm. This is a true shooter. You have a reticle, and you have to aim it on somebody, and whatever the thing hits is what gets hit. Like, you can aim for a character, and if you don't lead it and they move, you don't hit the character.
So it's more like Super Monday Night Combat.
Yeah, it's more like Super Monday Night Combat, I think, than it is like Smite.
But nobody played that, unfortunately, so I don't get that.
Mm-hmm. Some people play.
Another thing that I really appreciated, that the jungle is a true jungle. You can get lost in it.
Yeah, the jungle is cool.
Yeah, you can get lost in it.
And it's on a different plane, not like Super Monday Night, but there's like spots where you can jump down, but you can't jump up.
Yeah.
So sometimes
depending on your character.
Yeah.
So there's like if you can't see somebody, it's not because they're standing in a spot that makes them go invis. It's because you can't see them because there's a goddamn bush there, and they can jump through that bush and attack you. Like it's like if Dota 2 was a real fight, it'd be a lot closer to this than, you know, clicking around a surface. And everybody knows that I hate top down, and it's not immersive at all. This is tremendously immersive. As far as the card packs, I believe you can get up to a 60 card pack. Fastidious, shout out to Fastidious. This was his recommendation. I didn't think I was going to love this game. I really like this game.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you guys were convincing me to download it. It's a free to play, and I turned it down. I was like, let's just go play Overwatch instead.
And you won the day, too. We all went to play Overwatch.
Yeah, I did. I won that argument.
Yeah. So the way the card packs work is it's basically your shop, but your shop is determined before you go into the game. So you can set your shop to have offensive cards or defensive cards or health cards or mana regen.
Do you draw these cards?
No, they're available when you get in there, but you have a certain limit. So there's all sorts of...
Oh.
So picture like a shop in League of Legends or Dota or whatever. It shows everything, and everybody can buy everything.
Yeah.
Now picture before you get into the shop, depending on which character you're playing, you have to limit your shop to these specific
abilities,
items.
And they have a maximum number of pieces. Okay.
Yeah, but the more XP you get, there's two kinds of XP. One is leveling up your character, and the other one
levels up your abilities.
Does that make the playing ground uneven? For instance, a higher level character will have better cards and or more a more stacked character.
Yes, a little bit, to a certain extent.
I think that skill will
they're very. It wouldn't be as major differences as having a low level item versus a high level item. It would be like two high-level items, and one works perfectly for your character, and one works sort of well for your character. So, like, you can overcome item disparities, but if you really want to go top level of this stuff, you should make sure you have all the cards. And they work to try to make sure you can get all the cards, but it's one of the ways that they're trying to get you to spend money on it.
Now,
so.
I've played probably 10 or 11 matches, and every single one of them was against AI with real players. And that's what I need at this level. Like, you can't even play against other players until you're level 5.
Which is like 4 games.
Yeah,
so
like
we've played more than that.
And I was totally fine with, like, the AI isn't fantastic, but they'll gank and they'll, like, their placement is really good. When you're fighting them, they're not very bright.
It's more like, oh, the guy's behind me shooting me.
Yeah.
Oh, I probably should learn to look at my map more often
I think that's great because it's almost like a multiplayer filter. I can't tell you how many times I've jumped into Dota, especially where mostly everybody puts in a huge amount of time and investment in learning everything about that game and still never knowing it all because it's ever changing, and which is why I respect and appreciate Dota. But if there is somebody who's completely new and everybody else has to carry that one person, it ruins the game for everyone involved.
Yeah.
It makes it too easy for one team and too hard for the other. A lot of turmoil. If you force somebody through a tutorial and kind of get them all at least on the same starting base, like, it makes the playing grounds a little bit more fair for everybody involved, right?
Yeah,
for sure.
The biggest problem with this game, I think, is the size of the map. Yeah, you really can't.
So you agreed with me at the end.
Yeah,
is there too much roaming? Or?
There's plenty of action in your own lane, but by the time you can get to another lane to help out,
you can't teleport to a tower. You can't, like.
Do you think it was bigger than the Smite map though? Because it kind of felt the same as Smite to me.
Only because there's ups and downs too. Like, you know, the quickest way between two points is a straight line. You're climbing hills. I got lost in the jungle more than once.
Okay.
I fell into a hole a couple times.
Yeah.
They give you a map. So, and the map has little roadways on it.
It does.
I was just following that. But, I mean, coming from Heroes of the Storm, I'm just so used to, you know, 5 seconds and you're in the other lane.
Like, yeah.
There you go. And
a lot of team fights, too.
I kind of remember Smite being like that as well, like a bigger map, and a gank was more of a commitment. If you were successful, it was worth it. If you weren't, then you actually suffered because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this reminded me of. This game really brought me back to Smite. I did enjoy it, but I didn't really like the slower pace of it all. They've got those things called, what, harvesters or something?
Yeah,
where you start them up, and you have to go there and retrieve whatever currency or XP you use to upgrade every so often. So there's a lot of things to do other than just fighting people. And Heroes is a game that just forces you to fight constantly. And I'm so conditioned towards that, that anything else just seems, I don't know, slow to me.
Yeah, I felt like with Smite, it was definitely one of the slower MOBAs compared to League, compared to Dota, and even Han. So, and maybe it's because of the third-person aspect element to it. Yeah. I imagine...
Well, even like, the
things,
battles.
Things, like, yeah, and battles, and you know, they go so fast in top-down, well, top-down combat. Like, with something being third-person, would you even know what's happening?
See, I don't know. In Smite, I remember blowing people up pretty quickly. But in Paragon, there was definitely more of an exchange.
It's definitely an exchange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you don't just run up, like, even if it's like a 3-on-1 or a 2-on-1. And, of course, I'm speaking from very limited experience here, but you don't just run up on someone and boom, they're dead.
It's like more of a battle than a fight.
It's true. Yeah. And you can, a lot of times it's a guy trying to run away and you're trying to keep up with them to shoot him, to finish them off. Two little points. Fastidious said, and so this is coming from him, I didn't verify it, but he said a patch was coming for Paragon that was releasing a new map that he said was smaller. So maybe they've listened to feedback. And
apparently 60% the size of the current one.
Yeah. So
that's a lot smaller.
And the other thing was shit. He was talking about the current like kind of meta, and he said two jungler per team meta is viable in Paragon. So maybe that's kind of how people are solving the so hard to gank method, is they're using two junglers that can pick a lane and make it like a 3-on-1 or a 3-on-2 to try to get these ganks possible.
What do you think of the graphics, Bobby?
They were really good. When I turned, or when I set up my configuration for the graphics, I think I put it on some weird settings it didn't like. Same thing happened in Rainbow Six. I just went in the settings, maxed everything out, and it looked like the borders, the edges, were kind of fuzzy. So I went into NVIDIA, and then I just let it optimize it, and everything looked good there. But yeah, the graphics are great.
Will you be playing this again?
Probably, if other people are playing it. How long do you think each game takes?
Ooh.
30 to 40 minutes.
They're long. They're equivalent to
It was taking us longer because we were new. And I think one game we had someone who was just running, just face checking, just face tanking every battle and just dying over and over again. We actually lost to the AI.
Yeah, we did.
That one.
Wow.
Yeah, we lost.
That's
one guy left right off the bat. So it was 4v5. And then another guy must have been maybe six years old. But he was just running in and swinging until he died. And
bro,
then,
some people can't afford anything but W key, dude.
Well,
that's all they have.
It was W and left click. That's all he was doing.
Were they throwing Jello on the keyboard? What are you talking about?
He was literally running into the tower and trying to swing on the tower before it killed him, before respawning and running into the tower.
I don't know. Maybe those are outliers, but to me, it seemed like the games were an hour long. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but they seemed very, very long. I don't
know.
If
playing a lot of HOTS.
Playing, I'd be willing to play it again.
HOTS is very quick pace. When I played it with you, I was like, wow, we got three
games. It's extremely fast.
Three games for the, normally for me in Dota 2.
It's too fast for me. That's
HOTS is like a prostitute. You just go straight to the banging.
No.
You don't got to.
There's no foreplay at all.
No foreplay at all.
Yeah. In this analogy, foreplay would be the laning phase, right?
Yeah, right.
There's absolutely no.
Okay, when I look at MOBAs, and I almost see, like, them in actual tabletop board game form. Like, you know, League of Legends, that's my chessboard.
Okay.
Smite is my checkers. That's, you know. And then, like, Dota 2 is Risk. It's, like, all these different pieces and strategies and table table flipping. Like, why is HOTS or MOBA compared to all the other ones?
It really could have been any.
He likes whores.
He doesn't want foreplay. He wants to bang and go.
Right down to the business. Yeah. For all intents and purposes, that is true. I mean, the HOTS.
Ask his girlfriend.
Prostitutes. But I do enjoy that quick pace. But honestly, it could have been any MOBA. I was really getting into Infinite Crisis for a while. And then it was announced that that game was going to be discontinued. And the first MOBA I ever played, Super Monday Night Combat, then Smite. But then when I went to Top Downs, it was Dota, then it was a League. And I kind of warmed up to it. I went into it like not knowing anything about those games. And then each one kind of warmed me up more and more, and I liked it because there was so much room for me to improve. And then the one I just happened to get hooked on was Infinite Crisis. Then they canceled that one, and I found Hot. So, I mean, it could have easily been League of Legends. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there's like any certain thing. I do enjoy the quick pace. Like, it's so funny for me to watch people who come into Heroes of the Storm and they come from other MOBAs because they are so slow. They're just like, okay, well, we're done doing this. Let's see. Let me look at the old map here, see what we're going to do next.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll go top lane. It's like, dude, we should have been there 10 seconds ago. We've lost our opportunity. Like, people are just like you just got to be so snappy with
like,
it.
Are they over-strategizing or something like that?
Well, they're new to the game, so they don't know what to do, and they don't recognize opportunity. Like, if you look at the mini-map, like, I can look at that and I say, this is what we need to do based on that information. Like, you just have to be very quick, and the more you play, the more you get accustomed to it. And I was watching when the League of Legends tournaments were going on, I started watching some streams of that, and oh my god, those games seem so slow. It's just like they're just sitting in lane, that's all they're doing. It doesn't, like, that's, it just seemed crazy to me. But that, I do understand how people like that. Like, there is a little bit more of a
slow build.
There's more strategy involved.
It depends on what you define as strategy.
How can you possibly say there's not more strategy?
I would say there's more risk and reward in some of the more elaborate MOBAs.
Well, like, I'm League just saying there's Dota more 2. Options.
There is a lot of, if you're not, like, especially in the higher level games, if you are not to the T, like for every minute, you know, like every minute there's a certain thing spawns, wards only last this long, and then you need a certain amount of money for a certain item for this time to counter this, you know, I feel like there's definitely a lot more risk especially if you leave your lane to go game.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, there's
so we were talking about Paragon, and somehow Bobby railroaded us.
I mean, they're both
back on Hots.
But that's,
I'm filling out my bingo sheet.
Throw the strategy thing out there.
Button down.
And it's like comparing, at that point you're comparing Counter-Strike to Dota. It's like, is one more strategic than the other? I mean, I suppose, but one has more kinetic or like twitch. Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, there's just so many different factors in it. So it's really, you start getting into this really nebulous area. I
completely disagree. I feel like Heroes of the Storm's removed layers, and they intentionally removed layers, and they did that to be more immediate, more impactful, more quick, and like...
Whorish.
Yeah. And they did that
it's
on purpose.
Right to the fucking...
But that is removing strategy from the game.
If, like, you have an hour-long game, then you have a lot more time to decide what you're going to do than you do if you have a 20-minute game. Like, you have to make those decisions immediately
and then act
on those.
See, with Dota 2, I feel it's because you constantly have to re-strategize because the opposing team is, you know, doing different tactics to, you know, go for your Nexus. And I feel like in Dota 2, if I waste time just accidentally running in one circle... in the middle of nowhere, you know, everybody will be on my ass and harping on me and telling
There's
me I'm throwing the game.
There's definitely more ways to play the game in Dota 2, but then you bring in the fact that Heroes of the Storm has 8 different maps, so then you got to learn how to do each map and every objective.
That's true.
And the
That's true.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I mean, it's,
I see.
There
it's
are
a
different things.
Question,
yeah.
But I guess what I'm really trying to say is, like, I liked Paragon. Like, I enjoyed it.
I liked it, but Hots.
Yeah.
Right?
I know. But no, I definitely enjoy every now and then I go back to Dota, like, especially when I have time off. Usually around this time of year, I'm going to be having a lot of time off. So I have the time to commit to those longer format games.
Did you have a character that you gravitated towards?
I mean, on Paragon, I immediately went to the tanks. I did play a jungler, Kaleri, something like that.
Chimera,
yeah. I played him, and I'm like, oh, this is nice. This guy actually does damage. But in these
That's
genres,
a fighter I'm, class.
I'm not even too sure on the class. But Fastidious explained to us that the tanks are not really... there's not really a place for them. Unless you're, like, super amazing good, then, like, they can be really impactful. But for the most part...
Yeah, they've got kind of weird class structures because they've got a ranger class and a caster class, but the ranger class does not mean it's a physical class. It can be doing a ranger with energy, and a caster can be doing physical damage.
But apparently so, you can make whatever out of anything. So he takes a caster, and he plays him tanky, and that's what Fastidious does.
Well, right? I don't mean that, but if you're playing Howitzer, you're playing physical damage.
No, I get it. I get what you're saying.
Energy.
On her versus, like, I don't know, one of the mages. Hebo. Like, Hebo is magic and the other one's physical. And they
well, you know that because one's a mage and one's... Right. What was theirs? What was the other? Hunter? But that's what I mean. Like, they have the ranger class, which I was equating to Hunter. But no, because some of them do energy, some of them do physical. It was just interesting. I don't know, a little different take on
I like
things.
The card mechanic. I like this game. I think it's beautiful. There's a character that's right up my alley. That's he's like a little ugly dude riding an even uglier dude. And which is also how I like my porn.
Wow.
Wow. I think you were saving that one.
But anyway, it all comes down to, like... personality. Some people like Alien, where it's a slow build. You never see the alien. It jumps out, scares you at the end. Some people like Aliens, where it's just a gore fest, aliens all over, and it seems hopeless. It just all comes down to personality. Yeah. You know.
I kind of think this is going to be your Warframe, where like you were like loving it.
Played it. Like, I never touched it again.
Time or two, and then we haven't touched it again.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I didn't put it on the show notes, but Warframe has a new expansion or update?
Update, like a big update.
So does that mean you're any interest in picking up Warframe?
I wouldn't
again?
Know the difference between
does it benefit
the update or not.
The low class?
Does it benefit the update? Is it more beneficial to those who have been playing it, or is it something that...
It probably is,
yeah.
Probably is.
They have a very strong, dedicated fan base,
okay, cool.
And they are also a very strong, dedicated development team. I think that's a beautiful relationship.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, let's move on.
All right, so as we were playing Paragon the other night, I think about my second or third game into it, my computer just randomly turned off, and then I heard a loud electronic whine coming from it, so yanked the power out, ripped the panel open, just in time to see a cloud of smoke come out of my graphics card.
Oh, shit.
And you know that's not good, and that shit, it stank, too, dude. It smelled like, I don't know if you've smelled burning electronics before. It is a sour, pungent aroma.
Wow.
And when it's your own shit, it makes it even worse.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
my
like
gosh.
You know why free food is fucking tastes better than food you have to pay for? When you feel when you smell your own shit burning. I mean,
wow.
But what I mean is not your actual shit. Like things that you own, Chi.
Oh.
Like your computer is burning.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I guess she just assumed that's where you were going.
Yeah.
She went to a dark place quick.
Yeah, she did.
No. Well, I mean, because you were the person saying it, it was a fair assumption.
Right, right.
Sure. Stomach flu or poison belly.
That's pretty bad.
Food poisoning, yeah. So, I'm
so glad I wasn't here this weekend. I probably would have been able to hear you just doing nasty things in that bathroom.
Oh, my goodness.
Do I need to get a new toilet? Is that what the conclusion of this thing
yes,
is?
Yes, already. Yeah. Before this weekend.
They're starting to call me the porcelain punisher.
The porcelain punisher. I like it.
Gross.
Anyways.
So my graphics card blew up.
Literally. Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't like an explosion, but it blew up.
And pulled the old Galaxy Note 7 on you?
Yeah.
And it was the one, probably the piece of hardware my computer I had faith in the most. I mean, it's an EVGA 980 Ti. I've had it for a year and maybe 4 months, and it's worked great. I called EVGA right after that. They got 24-hour support. Dude hooked me up with the warranty. I'm sending it back. They're going to replace it. I don't know if I'm getting a new one or maybe it's used or
refurbished. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. But I'm going to sell that. I mean, this all happened Thursday night. I had a 3-day weekend, and I had big plans. Like Friday, nothing on the schedule.
Game,
it's like
game,
I've
game.
Got all this time, and my time has been very sparse lately, so having a whole day open like that, I was very excited and completely shit all over that. Got on Amazon, when's the soonest I can get a GTX 1080 here? It was not until Saturday morning, so
They have the one-day option, huh?
Not on that card, at least not from EVGA. The FTW, ACX version, bunch of acronyms, A-E-Y-O-U, sometimes Y.
It's funny, at first, I thought, so we have a list that we go down and people put in what they want to talk about. And Bobby's was EVGA, GTX, 1080, FTW. And I was like, wow, he sounds really excited about this. And I said, oh, no, that's part of the name of the fucking thing.
You saw for the win, that's hilarious.
Yeah, that's what they call those really high-end cards. And I got the card in on Saturday.
You didn't go to Fry's. You still went with Amazon, even though
Fry's had an open box there, and they were not very helpful. I did not care for their attitude. So
Fry's is pretty much a piece of shit. Would you rather go to Fry's, which is condescending?
Did you walk into Fry's
or Best Buy that
with a
you just doesn't
in your
give a
pocket?
Shit?
Yeah,
I thought it was fantastic that Bobby said he had nothing to do. All of
with
Friday, even though I've hired him on Thursday to do some work for me. So.
Oh, yeah. Not that. I'm just real kidding. Jobs. Right. Not to say your job isn't real.
When you say hired, that implies payment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I hired him by telling him how much I was going to pay him for what.
Okay.
Which is, I guess, how all his work side work though, goes.
Yep. I'm waiting on a lot of checks these days. But I got the card in there, so first thing I got to do, of course, is run a benchmark, and it scored 17,000 on Firestrike, 17,100, give or take. Compare that to the 980 Ti, which scored 15,000.
So not a huge jump.
2,000 is a pretty good jump. My GTX 690, when I replaced that and put in the 980 Ti, that was 11,500 to 15,000. So that was twice the jump as going from a 980 Ti to a 1080.
Interesting.
So a pretty big jump. But I looked at all the benchmarks before I bought the 1080, and if you are running 1080p, there is absolutely no reason to get a 1080 graphics card. Like, the benchmarks were neck and neck, sometimes even better on a 980. But because I'm running 2560 by 1440, a little bit higher of a resolution, it did make sense, and I will get better performance at those higher resolutions.
Does that also, because your monitors can do variable frame rate, right? Like, you can, or our monitors.
The monitor I do have, it does.
Doesn't that impact your how well you do? Since it's got to be if the frame rate's increased, you got to have a more powerful card to run that, or does frame rate not really impact the?
No, because the graphics card puts out a frame rate, and then the monitor will display whatever it's capable of.
Okay.
So your graphics card is still doing a lot of work. There may be a really technical answer to that question that may slightly disagree with what I'm saying, but for the most part, I think your graphics card just puts out as many frames as it can, and the monitor deals with it as best it can.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. But, I mean, overall, I spent $700 on the card. That's what I spent on the last one, too. On eBay, the 980 Ti, the superclocked one that I have used, they're going for about $350. Brand new, they're going from like four on up. So I'm hoping to get like maybe $350 on eBay for this one. Kind of cut the cost a little bit. But either way, it's like an upgrade I was not planning on doing for a while. I mean, I've had this card for like a year and 4 months, and I was going to ride that out for quite a bit longer. So it was a bit of a forced upgrade.
So basically you bought the upgrade because it would have taken several weeks to get the 980, and you are not willing to wait.
It's going
to
take about, I mean, I've been through,
but you
so
don't
many
hold the, you don't,
processes.
You don't hold your old one, I guess.
You can do it one of two ways. EVGA does this. Other RMAs I've done with other companies, they do the same thing. You can either ship yours back once they receive it, they send yours, or they can ship one out right away and they charge your credit card and then they refund that, or they put a hold on your credit card for a certain amount, and then when they receive your return, then they take that off. And because I didn't need to do that, I just figured I'd send it back and then they could ship one out later.
So if they were smart, they'd give you, it'd be awesome if like your warranty gets you credit towards your next card.
Well, you know what? That's interesting that you mentioned that, because while I was doing all this stuff on EVGA's site, they had this thing called a Step Up program, where if you got a graphics card, within 90 days, if a better one comes out, you can send yours in and then pay the difference and get the better card. Huh. Now, I think it's 90 days, but some other people were saying, oh, it's like 180 days, which is what?
Half a year.
6 months. Yeah, half a year. So there may it may depend on what card you have or some other factors, but that's still pretty cool that
so,
you can do
something.
Yeah, sure. I feel like that's the general retail policy because when I went out and got my Bose headphones, mm-hmm. they didn't have the noise canceling option for my wireless headset, but they said it was going to come out in 60 days, so all I had to do was hold on to it, and then when the new ones came out, bring it back, do an exchange, and just pay the difference.
It. Yeah, they do that with a lot
when
of stuff.
That ever happen?
The catch with EVGA, though, is you have to register your
when
product.
When you pay almost
like,
$300 for headphones.
Yeah.
But yeah, with high-end stuff, when you're playing, I mean, Bose are not cheap equipment, and when you're spending that kind of money, then they understand that if something new comes out, then you want that. And I should have... Maybe I should have been aware of that because I bought the 980 Ti in July 2015. The 1080 came out probably 6 months later, like exactly 6 months later.
So question for you. On Discord, I forget who was talking. There was two listeners that were talking back and forth, and somebody had said they bought a game and the next week it went on sale. Does Steam, will Steam reimburse you the difference if it's been a week since you bought a game when it goes on sale? Or is that on a case by case, or does it need to get?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think they do that.
I've never
at
heard
all.
Of that.
Yeah,
and I've been bitten by that shark.
Yeah,
a couple
and that
more,
used to be the
once.
Thing about the holiday sales because they would do everything's on sale, and then they would do the weekly sales, and then they would do the 4 hour flash sales. So the trick was, and everybody knew this who had been through a couple of Steam sales, is you wait for the flash sale. If it doesn't come, then you just buy whatever you wanted at the end of the sale because you got to be patient because so many times people would buy something for like half off, then it'd be on a flash sale for like 75% off.
So other question to you, Bobby. EVGA, I guess, is your
go-to manufacturer.
Manufacturer of choice for
video
graphics cards.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, would you recommend that across the board or... Does it all depend, or what's your thoughts on it?
I have recommended them highly in the past. This is the only time I've ever had an issue with the card, but I understand this stuff happens. Hardware will fail. And they have, I mean, the reason that I really like them is they make quality products. They have a really good warranty support as witnessed through this whole experience. And I'm also very familiar with the EVGA Precision X, which is our overclocking tool, which makes overclocking your graphics card super duper easy.
Do you, at this point in graphics card, is overclocking still something that can be and should be done?
It depends on what kind of card you get. Some cards are able to be overclocked more than others. I don't really do it too much anymore just because I want to get more life out of my graphics card. I will do it. Just
apparently
like
not this time.
Yeah. No. But I will do it for benchmarks just, you know, to get those numbers up and see what I can do. But... I don't know if I'd recommend it for any long-term solution.
Cool.
They're
going to
be our sponsors.
Hey, I've talked them up plenty.
Chad, what's up with Football Manager's rating?
Oh, I just wanted to bring this up. We talked about last week about Football Manager 2017 or 2017, I'm sure.
Let me cut you off for a second. I'd like to say that the cure for food poisoning is vodka because I feel fantastic now.
Good. Excellent. Not whiskey, I can imagine.
Maybe you were just going through some type of withdrawal.
Go on there on Steam if you could.
No,
you were sober in the morning and then...
Yeah, I feel so much better now.
So Football Manager, we talked about last week. It was, Football Manager is that simulation game for soccer for the U.S. fans. Anyways, I was checking it out this week because I was thinking maybe I would actually play it. And I haven't seen a game with so many reviews that have such a negative overall on Steam. So there's 2,000 reviews right now, and it is listed as mostly negative with a 31% rating. Have you seen a negative that a percentage that low?
I don't know why
for a game this big
so long. If it's such a horrible game,
well, we didn't know about this last week. It came out, so we weren't aware that people were going to view it so negatively. Basically, they're saying that this is exactly the same as last year. And it's got the same problems as last year, and the company said that they were going to address some of these issues.
I don't think we can hear that on the mic.
Oh, you can. Trust. I listen to every episode, and all I hear in the background is him stomping around. Anyways, so basically, everybody, a ton of people have just hated on this game on Steam. So I don't know if that has anything, but I just had never seen a 31% on a major game before.
If you saw a 31% on Rotten Tomatoes, would you go watch the movie?
I would not compare that. Rotten Tomatoes has a highly sophisticated system for coming up with that number. This is just a bunch of fucking randos spewing whatever.
2,000 reviewers.
Yeah.
2,000, but I mean, come on, we don't know these people. They could be maniacs. They could be serial killers.
Yeah.
And Rotten Tomatoes is compromised, too. They're owned by one of the biggest...
Viacom, right?
Viacom, yeah. So
Okay. It's
like you can't trust their ratings either.
Yeah, okay. They take all the reviews from all the critics, and then they run them through some... whatever their algorithm is, and then they produce.
And then they add the 50 points.
Yeah, but it's been pretty much proving. Like, if you take their ratings, and there's some huge disparities between their Viacom movies and... IMDb's ratings. So I'm more apt to follow IMDb's user rating than anything
else.
Don't
be a sheep and just be like, well, the movie was good because Rotten Tomatoes said so.
No, for sure.
True. Anyways, that was it for Football Manager.
I played about 20 minutes of SteamWorld Heist, and let me tell you, I loved it. No. it's a 2D turn-based strategy game, which is really weird, right? So... I've never played a strategy game that was 2D, I don't think. I guess if you would say like Mayan Death Robots or Worms.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that, but instead of arcing your shots, you're bouncing them off of the walls. And so it's all about trigonometry and stuff like that. It makes it sound like...
Did you get out your radius and measure the walls?
Yeah, I had
stuff.
Goddamn, what is that thing called?
Yeah.
It's like a ruler with a thing.
Protractor.
Protractor. Yeah.
Contractor or protractor?
Protractor.
Prophylactic.
We should, the guy that works in middle school should have a clear understanding of a protractor.
Yeah, for sure. So, as you can see here, it's turn-based and you're taking pop shots at people.
But it'll actually show the bounces and all.
Yeah, it'll show the bounces. Well, if you have a gun with a laser sight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but sometimes you want a shotgun, stuff like that.
A pool cue, or is that the stick thing? Pool stick?
The fuck are you talking about?
That's what I see. Like, you know, it's the laser sight, and you see the...
Oh, when you're playing pool and you see them bouncing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking
about... It's sort of similar like this, but it's side instead of top down.
I wasn't a huge fan. Only because in between fights and after fights, you're still turn-based.
What the fuck?
Which is bullshit. Like, when you're in your own spaceship, you can walk around freely. But to get to the fight and to leave the spaceship that you just invaded, it's still turn-based.
Yeah, that's
and
that
it's just fucking
sauce.
Ridiculous.
Who's taking turns other than you?
Just you. You and
but
your
it,
other
this
characters.
Is every, it's super slowed down even though there's no enemies.
Yeah, and you have other characters. Like,
there's explain. In the menu, return to ship.
How could there not be?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yes, you want to explore and see if you can find some loot. And after you do that, you should just be able to play a start and go back to your fucking...
Yeah.
But no, you have to take turns with your multiple characters and walk them all back onto a plank to go back to your... That said, I do like the characters. There's this like surly like captain's mate like that's just like always grumbly. I really like this character. He made me laugh more than once. His hat. So your hat has stats, and it can get shot off.
That's cool.
And your character goes sigh, and then you lose that hat, and you have to like find another hat somewhere. So
hilarious.
Yeah, it's a character. It's like an item that could be removed at any time. So you got to make sure that you always have cover. So it's cover based strategy. Interesting. Take a look at it if you'd like the way it looks. But just know you're in for a slow burn.
Okay.
It is Alien, not Aliens.
Okay, and that was called Steam World Heist.
Yeah, apparently there's an entire... You know, this might be a mobile game. I don't know. It seemed very mobile-esque. But apparently there's an entire Steam World like series, and it's not all... This is the only one that's like this, and then, yeah.
So it exists in some sort of...
Yeah, you play as a bunch of robots, post-apocalyptic. The world exploded, and the only people left are robots, and they're all fighting each other. That's the kind of world. It was an interesting world.
Sort of related to that. So I've been playing a lot of mobile games, and The reason I bring this up is I decided to play a game that will also work on Steam. So I can talk about it because I played it on mobile. Right. But you can play the exact same game on Steam. So if you're not big into mobile games.
So get ready for Chad's cross-platform review.
What are you laughing about?
You start every what do we call a section? Highlights and lowlights. So I've been playing a lot of mobile games.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Everybody should have a
protein in that diet.
Yeah, I do, apparently. So, yeah, there's going to be two mobile games that I'm talking about today, but one of them in particular, you can also play on Steam, and I recommend this game. Bobby, I think this game is perfect for you, and if you haven't played this game, I think you should buy it right now, and it's $2.99. It's called Rusty Lake Roots. Mm. So if you want to, have you played this game, Bobby?
No, this sounds familiar. Rusty Lake Roots?
So if you want to bring it up while I'm talking about it. Basically, it is kind of a mix between a point-and-click adventure and a puzzle game and a hidden object game. So you have a kind of a field that you're trying to find objects on, but you know you're trying to like click on things to see what is interactable and what isn't.
Okay.
But at the end of you're trying to solve a puzzle to get through this thing.
The big problem with these kind of games is usually you can tell that the graphics on what you're supposed to click on looks different.
It's not.
Okay.
So it's $2.99 and it's a single player story game, and it probably took me 4 hours to get through.
Wow.
There's 33 different puzzles. So once you get through it, there's also like a further thing where where you can go back through the levels to try to do more. But it is really dark and it's
ominous.
It's like depressing, sort of. It's kind of all this. The tagline is 10 sacrifices for one
salvation
or something like that. And so you're playing through this family tree, which keeps growing as you.
So
as
the story is the main thing here.
Yeah, it's a single player story game.
Good for them, because you make these little games and most of
and
them
that's kind of what I
bypassed.
Remember, I was talking last week about that Neo Monsters, and I said I wanted to pay for a game to get a paid for experience.
Yeah,
and then I paid 99 cents, and I didn't really get a paid for experience. So this time I was like, I'm gonna get an actual experience, and I'm gonna pay $2.99 to get an actual experience
for the price of a cup of coffee.
Yeah, and I had a great time with this game, but it is I saved a screenshot, and it's I'll show you. It's basically there's this one part where she's having birth, and she has three kids, and she lifts her skirt up and the baby comes out, and you have scissors, and the scissors, you have to cut the umbilical cord,
right.
And you have to, it's just depressing. There's one part where you have to collect semen from a guy. You have to go into the guy's chest to get his heart out. Like it's really twisted and fucking sick, but
in a good way. And you don't usually like this kind of macabre things either.
It's true. It is macabre.
Have you ever played, this kind of reminds me of like the elements of a good DS game, especially if you ever played, like that's what I think of, like, you know, remember the actual like mobile gaming before cell phones, it was.
Yeah, like a DS or a Vita or a PSP or whatever. Mm-hmm.
And so with you having to cut the umbilical cord, does it require precision, or is it more just like a.
No, yeah, it's like a point and click adventure where so you find the scissors.
Of like trauma center.
Yeah, no,
you have
no.
To be precise. Okay. Oh,
but there is like a section where you have to like saw. You have to like
are scissors
saw.
The proper tool for that?
No.
Is that what they use?
No.
Yeah. Okay. Big scissors that cut the ribbon in marathons.
Yeah, that's kind of similar. Yeah.
Usually they have the mayor come and do it.
Oh my gosh.
So anyways, I recommend this game. $2.99. It's on Steam and mobile. And
does one unlock the other?
I don't think
probably
so.
Not, right?
There's
no middle ground there.
Yeah. But Bobby, I think you should play this game.
Yeah, it looks intriguing. The price is right.
Yeah, for sure. And the other mobile game I played okay. So I have this secret love affair of launch style games. Do you guys know launch style games?
Like Worms or
no.
Floppy Birds?
So basically game starts and you kind of have like a cannon or some sort of, if you want to get up, this other one is called
Paper
the top. Game that I'm going to be talking about is Burrito Bison's Lancha Libre. And it is as good as it sounds.
So it's like Angry Birds.
No.
Yes.
It's
he
in,
hates Angry Birds, so he doesn't want to draw a comparison.
There might be audio, so watch out, Bobby.
I got it muted. We're good.
Okay. No. So it's like on Angry Birds when you pull back and fire. But then it,
so exactly, no, no, wait, exactly, wait, wait, wait. 100% of the mechanics of the game.
The different birds have different abilities.
No, no, no. They like stop, explode, stop. It's explode. Not like Angry Birds
okay.
at all.
Okay.
Angry Birds is on one screen, and you're trying to knock things over.
Okay.
This launcher games is all about trying to get as much distance as you can. And okay. there's different
there's
things.
Like a penguin one, the
like,
first
yeah,
one.
Like learn yeah. to fly.
Mount your friends? Yeah.
No.
No.
It's more like this is an.
Although Mount Your Friends is about length.
So this is about. Anyways, I have the secret love of doing these games because it's all about upgrades and this incremental upgrades and
sure.
getting the next step. And I, for some reason, love this thing. It gets me off that I know what the next step is and how to get it. And I understand that. This is what I was talking about. What were we talking about? Like when we were talking about Arma and
the more you talk, the less respect I have for you.
Star Citizen, where I was like, is it focused? Is there gives me something to do next?
Yeah, I'm still upset about. I re-heard listen to that, and I still like it's a MOBA with quests and a storyline. And you said you want
see,
more directions.
See, this is it. You do like three or four different actions, and you're really like just trying to get as far as you can.
I would check this out. This is kind of cool.
It's free to play. The other thing that's cool about this game is it doesn't show ads.
You How's get it these make money.
You get these pinatas, and if you open up the pinata, it gives you four like little bonuses that you can use for the next turn. But the only way to open the pinata is to watch a video, a 30-second clip.
So
if you want to use the pinatas, you have to watch the clip.
Gotcha.
But
that's a good way of doing it.
Yeah, it's similar to some other games we've talked about.
Yeah.
Anyways, I love these launcher
cool,
games.
Cool, man. I'd try this out.
It actually does look fun.
The original launcher game that I really got into was something about something turtle, like launcher turtle or
I'm hard with the facts on DL Gaming Podcast.
I know. I keep forgetting what it's called.
Lab Monkey keeps tearing me apart after every episode. Hey, by the way, you're wrong here and here. Hey,
I looked up Bethesda thing, by the way.
Yeah.
And it seemed accurate. What you had said, they released the Dishonored 2 a day before everybody else got it.
I feel like we should be talking about Dishonored 2 this episode.
Well, it comes up in the news.
Toss the Turtle. That was the original game
Holy
that I played.
Holy shit.
Oh, oh boy. Newgrounds. The nostalgia.
So, yeah, that's the pinata that you have to get. So anyways, the game's called Burrito Bison Lancha Libre. It's kind of got humorous kind of as you can see from the title.
We all have smiles on our faces, except for Bobby, of course.
And it's,
I'm not really. I mean,
you don't play mobile games, though, right?
I don't.
All right. In that same vein, let me do a review. Every single person listening, every person on the podcast, we are in a symbiotic relationship with our phones. I made a gigantic leap from the iPhone to Android a couple weeks ago. I said that I was going to.
Normally it's the other way around, I feel like.
I don't know.
I know a lot of people that switch back and forth.
Okay.
Yeah. For me, it was big because I've been an iPhone user since...
The original one, right?
No, not that far back. But, you know, pretty far back, 3 maybe. Mm-hmm. And I went all the way up to the 6 Plus, which is for sale, by the way, if you want to buy it. It's on offer up for $350. Okay, so...
He'll autograph the back for you.
Already, Google is my Lord and Savior. I have already given away my entire life. Google runs my life.
He's naming his firstborn Google, actually.
Yeah, I think that's already been done, actually.
Yeah, I'm
but,
sure.
So my calendar, all my data, my searches, obviously.
What porn you like.
Google is all-encompassing if you let it.
Yes.
Maybe even if you don't let it.
Google.
And I'm okay with it. Like, yeah. I get enough free shit from them that they can have all the ad revenue they want from me. Because I love, if I'm going to see ads, which you are going to, I love to see targeted ads. Mm-hmm. So I said, my life is already theirs. And these apps, these Google apps don't work so great on my iPhone. Also, I'm not a huge fan of the iPhone's data management. You run out of data, like not data. I'm sorry, storage space.
Yeah,
and it's so hard. You have to like be techie to know how to make room, and that's why people buy these 64 or 128 big because they're like, oh, I always run out of room. But in comes the Pixel. Already, they're already my living savior. So let me use the device that they said is the good one. Check the reviews. Okay, cool. Bought it. Fantastic. Everybody loves this
phone. How much is the Pixel?
It's $670 for the regular size, and I think $770 for the bigger one. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. The iPhone Plus was too big for me, just because I have big hands, but you can't text with one hand, even with that. So it was too big for me. I got the Google Pixel. I got the smaller one. And so I was willing to buy it outright, $700 or whatever. Or you could pay $28 a month with zero interest. So why would it not go that way? You know,
it's essentially a contract, but not.
No, there's no contract at all.
Well what she's saying is.
For other people.
Yeah. For how many years is that $28?
2 years.
2 years, okay.
It might be 24, something like that. The insurance is $5 a month, so I got that too.
Which you need because you are horrible with your phones.
Mm-hmm. So I'm paying about $30 a month for just the phone, right? Which I'm totally fine with. Now, I decided to go with the new carrier as well. I went with Project Fi, which is Google's way of doing it. It's their carrier.
Right? Okay.
And what they do is they always default to whoever has the strongest signal within the partners that they have.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, so that's Verizon, I believe, and T-Mobile, and another one. So you never notice any of this going on. It's just always rock solid, almost always. I was in a parking garage. It didn't work. That was the first time. But almost always, it's fucking rock solid. The phone's fan-fucking-tastic. I've never had a faster phone. I know every phone is fast when you get it. Mm-hmm. This is the fastest one. Yeah. For iPhone users, the biggest problem that I had was how notifications work. But now that I'm used to this new one, love it.
What's the deal with notifications?
So iPhone, each little app had a little red dot. Everybody knows what it looks like.
Okay.
That little red dot tells you that there's a notification for that app. This one more has like a list of notifications.
Mm-hmm. You need to go into the notifications. Area.
Which is completely new to me. I've never seen that. But now that I'm used to it,
Android is life for me. And Google Now.
But this is based on the Android architecture.
Yeah, and Google Now is amazing.
Google has a headphone jack, right?
And that's the other thing. If you love Android, this is Android without no Sprint shit thrown on there.
Yeah.
No, because they all add their own shit.
Yeah, Sprint.
That's so
annoying.
Like I have AT&T, so when I get like an AT&T phone, it's got... And you can download shit from the Google Play Store. That'll let you remove a lot of that stuff. But then it acts kind of wonky. It sucks. You can't get something like just void of all that unnecessary garbage.
You can with a Google Pixel.
I'm considering getting a Google. But the screen size is so important for me on a phone. The one that I have now, the Note 4, I think is 5.7 inches.
Yeah.
And that is, I think the Google Pixel XL, I was just looking it up, is 5.5. Not a huge difference, but I watch so much on my phone that the screen size is like the most important factor.
I'm a little surprised you don't have like an iPad or something similar, a tablet to watch.
Because
shit.
I don't like having a lot of devices. You know, I have my phone, I have my home computer, and, you know, I have a laptop at work. But I really don't want to be one of those people that has like a million devices and just more things to break. I am in the market for a new MacBook Pro, and the new MacBook Pros that came out, I mean, they look cool, but oh my God, like, you think the headphone jack thing with the new iPhone sucks?
No USB, right?
Well, the new MacBook Pros have USB-C. That's all they have. They have
two
USB-C ports.
Is that the micro or the mini or the normal?
No, it's a brand new thing. It's like super fast, carries power. But basically what this means, to plug in a USB, a flash drive into your MacBook Pro, you need a dongle. To connect an HDMI, you need a dongle. A VGA, you need a dongle.
Ew.
To connect an SD card, these are pro devices. Like, obviously, photographers are using this. They plug in an SD card, you need a dongle. I found one dongle that has, like, all this stuff. Even an Ethernet. If you want to plug in a network cable, you need a dongle. There's, like, an $80 that's, like, a $80 dongle, that's like an all-in-one that I could get, but it just seems so ridiculous that they're doing this.
With all that, like, that you have to pay for all those additional add-ons because Apple has its
own
metric system.
Not to mention all this shit coming out of your laptop. I don't know. I'm seriously reconsidering it, and I'm thinking, and plus, they start at $1,500, and that does not include the touch bar on there, so I don't know.
So, question.
I've never been on Apple Pay, a couple more things. I don't understand these issues.
One thing that I did not see coming was apps. Apps that are not Apple-centric, they're not from Apple, work so much better on Android. Every single app, games, everything works better on Android. I think because it's more open source.
Yeah, for
sure. The architecture is
Apple
a lot.
Apple is just such a closed operating system.
You're now an Android elitist.
Yeah, I think so.
I've been telling you this for years, and you fucking wouldn't get it.
Yeah, but the phones haven't had the horsepower.
Okay. Well, I mean,
until
that's
now,
true.
To my knowledge.
Be honest. Your phone's not perfect, though. What is the biggest downside?
The Google Assistant isn't as good as Siri.
Oh, that's true. Siri is top notch.
The voice activation isn't as good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell
you what, OK Google?
The biggest thing for me when I got the new phone, she's listening. The thing that I liked the most when I switched over to Android was that I could just plug in my phone to a computer and just pops up there and I can pull files off it.
Yeah.
And iOS was just such a closed operating system that you got to go through photos. You can't really look at the file structure and like you can't get to all these different things. It was so annoying.
That was the sickest shit about this phone is like when I got it, it has a special little cord, an umbilical cord to move your life from iPhone to scot-free. It was like,
oh yeah, they advertise that.
Yeah, put it right into your iPhone, put it right into this phone, all your shit, boom. Every text message, everything.
That's awesome.
And by the way, that text message shit got me in trouble. It's pretty cool. And what was the other thing I complained about, Bobby or Chad?
I don't think you, I haven't heard
you. Because you brought something up, like you had a point.
No, I was just, because I'm honest, I honestly want to know because I'm thinking, I'm about ready to upgrade.
This is the fucking phone,
it's the S5 that I have right now, and I'm on.
Project Fi also is the simplest thing.
How much is it just for the base package on Project
$20 a month.
And then how, but it's not unlimited data, it's not unlimited.
It's $10 a gig no matter what. If you buy them ahead of time, if you go over, if you go under. If you go under, they give you the money.
This is how they're doing all the plans now. So you buy the plan, but then like it's $10
per gigabyte.
AT&T does it different. So you $20 for the plan, and then $10 per gigabyte. You get unlimited calling and text with your plan.
Yep,
well, that's pretty good.
And if you're on no Wi-Fi, it does voice over Wi-Fi, right?
And that's the thing. It jumps on public networks like that. It doesn't ask you. Like iPhone would always ask you, do you want to join this? Because it encrypts everything. So you don't have to worry about your data when you go. Because as soon as it joins the public network, it encrypts everything your phone does. So you're good. So you're constantly on Wi-Fi. Like driving, I'd be driving on my iPhone and like, do you want to join? This is like joining. Doesn't even tell you. It's like, why would it tell you if it's all encrypted? Of course you're going to be on Wi-Fi first. So I used to use 5 gigs, and now I'm using like 2 because I'm always on Wi-Fi if there's something around.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking
cool.
I can't say anything bad about it. It's great. It's fucking great. It's really, really good. I suggest it to everybody. Mm-hmm. One thing, Mobius has this. He's the only other person I know that has the same setup I have. Although he's not on the Pixel, but he's
That's another listener of ours.
And
Mobius.
He doesn't get good coverage on Project Fi.
Where is he from, though?
He's like in Texas or something. Okay. So I don't know. So there is that. Look up the coverage and see how you are. But
if Verizon's
a raving lunatic
good,
for this
and
phone.
Verizon's one of the followers.
It's because you were in the Apple ages.
I got to pee so bad.
Okay. Well, this one's gonna more talk to Bobby. So Steam revamped their launcher a little bit.
Yeah, like the day after we brought it up.
Yep.
On
yeah.
last episode.
So Bobby, you've probably been on Steam more than I have. What do you think? Chi, have you been on much? What do you think? I like it. I don't see a whole lot of difference.
That's how I feel too.
What's the difference here?
It looks just a little cleaner to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It, I've been looking at the same Steam store page for so long that anything different, I'm just like, oh, that looks fancy.
It looks like a merger between yeah. Big Picture and
yeah, it does.
Well, there is an advantage to it. Steam. This is what I do really like is when I'm looking at a game just on the yep. store page. If I hover over that game, it immediately pops up with a couple of screenshots of it, basically without having to actually click on the game and go to yeah. that game's page. It shows you a little bit about that game, if it's recommended, all that. And as we talked about last week, you can change the options, the filter options, to block out things that you don't want to see.
Where is that at?
That was up here in the top right, I believe. So features and recommended. If you click the little drop-down arrow,
there's
you can
a little
go
drop-down there.
Yeah, each one has a little drop-down, and you can say, I'm not interested, or add to your wish list. So right from the thumbnail, you can just say, hey, put this on my wish list. I don't want to go into the page, then add it to my wish list. Or you can say, I'm sick of seeing this shit show up left and right, click on it, and not interested. And it also has a preference tab. So you open up the preference tab. I don't want to see early access. I don't want to see virtual reality. I don't want to see videos or movies, just games.
That's cool.
Like, all sorts of shit.
By the way, Bobby said no to everything.
Yep. Except the violent
well,
and
sexual.
Well,
you checked everything. You don't want to see... Oh, the click to
oh, that's
show.
The stuff I want to
my
see.
Bad, my bad.
I'm actually see it building all.
Up a... yeah, I want to see the whole... Yeah.
You know. Undisclosed.
But undisclosed. I'm actually building up quite a movie library on Steam. If I'm going to buy a
you
movie,
didn't want to share that, huh? Cool.
What, the movie library?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
So I was thinking that my next luxury purchase would be the Vive. That's like the only... I don't have big goals. I'm Mexican. We can't own like,
I thought you wanted that big, like, fleshlight with the pulsating and the drip tray.
Oh, you
and
got
all.
That, bro.
Oh, my bad.
What?
But would you guys say that, like, that's even on your radar? Like
the Vive?
Especially now that it's fucking... Oh, no. More on that
to,
later.
I'm just trying to afford the more conventional things in life. Like new tires for a car.
Like $300 headphones?
Oh, well. Something you just need. That actually does fall
yeah,
under.
Sometimes
like,
you got to treat yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, that's a necessity.
Okay, this is cool. You've taught me stuff already.
So wins all around, Bobby?
What, for the new UI?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. It's good. It's an improvement.
For those who are new to the podcast, yeah, it's good. I like it. Is as good yep. as a review
that
you're going to get from Bobby.
That's top tier for
that's
Bobby.
Top tier.
Yep.
That is me like saying like it's the greatest thing that's ever happened. We're not done, Bobby.
Let's cheese got
no, I got a game.
Oh, Ori?
Yeah. So I just got back into Ori and the Blind Forest.
Oh, that's right.
And man, am I enjoying it. You know, everybody knows that it's a masterpiece. Some people, you know, I don't like platformers, but some things transcend. I don't like basketball, but I like Jordan, you know? This is as good as a platformer can get.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I took real notice of this time is what is the key fundamental of a platformer is jumping. Your jump is so fucking weak in this game that yeah. any tiny, even the double jump, only adds a couple centimeters to your jump.
Or is
but it's enough.
Glowing fox, right?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And so just if you somehow dismiss your radar or you don't... the reason I jump back into it is because nobody wants to play multiplayer games with me, especially Bobby. And so I had a couple minutes, so I was like, I'll play this. And then I ended up playing it for 6 hours over 2 days or something like that.
And I watched him play some. It was fun.
Yeah, it's... amazing. Really a masterpiece.
And then, yeah. You know, since you made fun of my Bose headset, like my wireless headset, it's been a game changer for me, for sure.
Check that off your bingo card. Game changer.
Especially when I'm gaming and I'm walking away and I'm in queue. Like, when are you not in queue for something these days
not for
online
the
gaming? And so if I'm walking away, I'm actually being productive around the house, taking a shit, whatever. And if I hear a cue pop, I know when I have to
first of all,
finish
gross.
It up and get back.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Guys, everybody.
You're going to talk about
everybody that's running around feeling like, oh my God, girl, shit. Don't
no,
worry.
When I say
they only shit,
I'm still there. And
the
I'm
only
listening.
Thing that comes out are Easter peeps.
Yep. The rabbit
right,
poops.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And they change color depending on what they ate that day.
They're like mood rings.
Well, yeah. Anyways, and no, I love them for my stream too, because I can walk away and still kind of whatever. They're great. They're wonderful. Buy them. And
which ones are these, by the way? I don't think you've
Bose
brought these
wireless
up.
Headset.
Did you just buy these?
With the mic in front, or is
no? There's no. It's not. I don't use the mic for that.
Oh yeah.
Since
she's
I bought
the
AT2020
Pro mic.
Yeah, since I used the AT2020, I was like, okay, I could use any headset. I'm going to go wireless, so I went Bose.
Nice. You must love the sound.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's not the best.
Bose isn't known for gaming, right? Like, can
it's
you
not
hear
known,
people running up behind
for,
you?
Yeah, I could hear everything.
Okay.
But it's not like the best quality headphones, but it is wireless and Bluetooth, and it's amazing. I use it for a cell phone, computer.
Okay, so what did you complain about
TV,
it, though?
Huh?
If it's amazing, what'd you complain about it? Like
I wasn't complaining about it. I was just saying they're awesome.
Okay. I misread you. I'm drunk.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. Oh,
I think you're fantastic, G.
okay, fantastic.
It's going to be a race between your diarrhea and
what is also fantastic is my birthday is this Wednesday. This episode is going to be dropping Tuesday. Thank you. So
she's
tomorrow
turning 21,
is essentially
fellas.
My... Oh, man. Oh, good jokes.
Joey's be 19 in my
And I would have already streamed my first creative stream. I'm baking cupcakes on stream.
Are you
going to
do it kind of in between gaming? Like pick a game that you can pause and
I'm going to turn it into the Food Network.
Eating?
That's social eating. That's if I was just eating in front of the computer. Mm-hmm. But in creative, people are cooking now.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I might watch.
Yeah.
Cool.
I love cupcakes.
I'm making those tie-dye cupcakes.
What percentage of entertainment on TV is food related?
Like, I always have Food Network on.
It's crazy.
Depends on what you consider food.
That was my after school special.
What does that mean? Oh.
What does that mean? do I want to know?
Throw some weird shit out there. Yeah. You interpret it however you feel.
As Emilio knows, about 75% of my TV watching when I have TV is food related.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm dieting, it goes up to like 90%. So I do a lot of food watching. So
it's foodborne.
I'm down to watch some of that.
Cool. Sorry, I stopped everything for Ori. Let's move on. We got that. So let's go to the news.
Just a quick point, because we do have some Rocket League listeners. They did their North American Championships over the weekend. Spoiler, if you haven't seen, fast forward for 2 minutes. Energy won. It's funny because it's Shaq's. Shaq is one of the
contributors
to Energy.
Sponsors.
Cool. Rick's Fox team is obviously Fox Echo.
Yeah.
So Shaq, Fox. What's up? Echo Fox. Fox. Yeah, my bad. Echo Fox. Shaq
sounds way better.
Shaq contributes to Energy, and they've been buying a lot of teams. One of the teams they recently bought was Rocket League, and then they won North American Championships.
How do they not call themselves Shaq Attack or something?
Well, he's not a major. He's not the one that created it.
Right.
He's just somebody that has bought into
it. Isn't that the name of the video game on the Super Nintendo? The fighting game was Shaq? No, Shaq Fu.
Shaq Fu.
Okay.
Wow.
Completely different than Shaq Attack.
It seems like the NBA, like ex-players and even companies or organizations, are the ones really investing into esports.
Interesting, right?
Yeah.
Like,
well,
them?
It's kind of the young people that have a lot of money. They've retired early. They're trying
to like video games.
And they're trying to figure out what to do with their money.
Yeah.
Like what other group is like 35, 40 retired and has a lot of money?
Yeah.
It's pretty much sports athletes. So
nice. Good call, Chad.
Let's get into the news.
Yeah.
I'm taking
this
over.
The first one's yours.
So Steam is going to be moving. They haven't done it yet, but moving into it, they are going to be not banning, but they're going to be preventing companies from using images that are not in-game images on Steam.
Right.
So they're going to be removing like FMV videos or cutscenes, other things like that, which might think they have better graphics than they actually do.
Gotcha.
So they're doing a lot to try to make it a little more.
And I've praised everybody knows I've praised. Yeah. Other countries for passing laws that do this for TV, but we can't do it over here because Trump.
Yeah. Trump. That's what we're
saying, man. His inauguration is still a little bit away.
Yet. We're already blaming all our problems.
Because Trump.
Do we want to talk Valerian at all?
Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic trailer.
So they teased The Valerian is a movie that's coming out in July. It's from Luc Besson, who did Fifth Element. It's another sci-fi one. It's getting some traction on a couple nerd sites and all. They released their first trailer. It looks really cool. We watched it. You guys, are you guys interested in watching Valerian next year?
Yeah, hell yeah. Definitely interested. It looks like a really, really well done Ender's Game. It's like what Ender's Game should have been, yeah, almost, from what it looked like. From the trailer. That's just speculating.
Bobby?
Yeah, I'm interested. I'm a fan of his work.
Okay.
I might say that it's okay and that I like it at some point.
Yeah. So
I mean, we'll see what Rotten Tomatoes says, because that determines if I'm
The end all on that. So if you haven't seen it, it's on YouTube. Check it out. It seemed very not Fifth Element. What's another one? Hitchhiker's Guide. It's kind of got a bunch of different alien types and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well done.
And she got really crazy. She said that she wanted to hook up with the 15-year-old actor guy. I was like, whoa.
No, yeah. The chick was hot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Next up, League of Legends. So 18 different teams have signed this kind of... signed this kind of thing that is basically calling out Riot, saying they're not providing enough for their championship series. They're not paying enough. It's basically we need things changed or we're not going to be participating. And this is 18 teams between NA and EU. So a lot of guys are upset. This comes after there was another kind of call to action sent out by one of the owners of one of the groups that prompted Riot to make changes and do like a 25% bump in pay and stuff like that. Basically, they're saying, we can't do this and we can't survive doing it as we're currently doing it. And so they basically called out Riot, and Riot has yet to really respond to this one yet. But
does anybody know their current numbers? Are they on the downtrend? I would imagine they would have to be.
League of Legends? I don't know. I think it's so hard to quantify the actual numbers because they go by accounts, but you can make multiple accounts. And really, that doesn't mean a whole lot at the end. Based on, I think they go by Twitch viewership a lot, and it's still way the hell up there. I mean, it's insanely successful. If it has gone down, then it probably doesn't even matter that much.
Side note, I watched all of Worlds, which happened like 3 weeks ago. I watched all of the Worlds
this week.
There was a couple really good games.
Yeah.
But it was really exciting to watch. But at the same time, last year's Worlds was in Korea and it filled a stadium. And this year, I think they were in Chicago or someplace else, and it was just like a theater that they had people in. And that probably is a little bit to do with America versus Korea, but it was just kind of a little stark contrast compared to last year's Worlds. But if you haven't seen the Worlds, go to whatever site you go to watch the VODs. If you're interested in League of Legends, there was a bunch of really good games. I'm not going to tell you who won, but it was really exciting to watch.
Yeah, once you get past that 30-minute laning phase, then it gets really exciting.
The laning phase is the exciting part.
By the time League of Legends game gets to the action, a HOTS game is already in the way.
You know, when you see high level play, I watched one full game of League of Legends in the championships, and it was like the two best teams going at it, and I don't think the first kill was until 18 minutes into the game.
Jesus.
No, but you guys don't understand.
No, we do understand. We just don't like it as much.
Okay.
What? Who said that?
Picture a kill as actually scoring with a girl or guy. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do.
Is she
like soccer? They don't score a lot of goals, but when they do, it's pretty exciting. There's a lot more going on.
No, but what I'm saying is there's things going on that doesn't involve actually.
I'm trying to explain sports. Here.
Yeah. Anyways, you either likely.
Guys, it comes down to personality. There's no winner here. Let's move on.
But you know, this article that I'm skimming through, I'm hoping you can clarify something for me. It said basically the article saying that the players and the teams are just concerned about it's looking very unstable, the future. Like they don't know what's coming. But what do they mean by chartering, the constant threat of relegation and Riot's new apparent plan to start chartering teams?
Yeah, so
what does that mean?
Riot, I think, is looking a little bit into the same strategy that Blizzard is looking into. And I don't know this for sure, so if you know more than I do, please let me know and I will correct it next week. But I think they're looking to do it similar to how Blizzard is doing it, where basically they're going to pick up the teams themselves and start paying the teams themselves. And so now the players don't know, should I be joining a team? Should I be looking to get picked up by Riot? Is Riot going to move to the way Blizzard's doing it, and they're going to get rid of all these other teams? So they don't really know what's going on. So I like the relegation idea, and I don't know. I mean, I understand why they would be upset about relegation, but if you're a 7th or 8th or 9th or 10th, whatever, if you're the bottom two, then why should you be obligated to stay in the league? Like, if there's better teams than you, then get the fuck out of there and get the better team in there. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. We'll see.
It's a crazy time for esports. I feel like we're on the verge of taking that next step.
And I just went through all of this with UFC. It was the first... It's the first sport I ever liked, and they're a virgin sport, even though it's 20 years now, 21 years. Mm-hmm. That's a virgin sport for the United States.
Yeah, for sure.
So seeing them going through the growing pains, I'm about to see the exact same growing pains going on with esports. Anyway, I know I talk about it a lot. 205 was the greatest night of fights ever that happened last night. Download it, torrent it, doesn't matter. It's fan-fucking-tastic. I can't say enough about it. And it wasn't just me. Everybody at the venue, we had like 30 people watching it together, and everybody agreed. Anyway, so what's Battleborn Day?
So this is more of a question to you guys. So Battleborn is dying. Basically, there's not enough players to sustain the game. And so the players themselves were talking back and forth on Reddit and other things to see what they could do, because what the players that are playing now feel like the game is in a good spot. They've done a lot of balancing issues. They've done a lot of things to resolve the issues that were launched. And so they want players to come back and check out Battleborn. So they were talking amongst themselves, and it came to a resolution where this weekend, yesterday, because we're recording on Sunday, yesterday they had a thing called Battleborn Day, and they were just going to have everybody who played Battleborn was going to be online, available to help new players out and everything like that. Gearbox found out about this and decided to pony up some ways to contribute to this as well, and they're also launching another kind of little expansion. So they're just trying to get people into Battleborn because they think this game is worthwhile and they want people to join it. The question I have is, do you guys have any interest in giving Battleborn another shot?
I would totally play Battleborn if other people were. I played it months and months after it came out, right after you guys had kind of played it out and, you know, just for the podcast, played a couple hours of it. I don't know if it had any lasting impressions on any of us, but... It seemed like, I don't know, it seemed like an all right game. It's just one of those things where to be a successful game, you have to be amazing in some way. There's just so much out there competing for your attention that something that's just good doesn't really cut it anymore.
Okay.
What was the question? I'm sorry.
He just peed again. So if you're playing at home, mark off fifth time that he peed.
You say pee, I said way worse than that. No, I'm kidding.
Well, as for me, if I would be interested in checking out Battleborn and giving it a chance, being a very avid Overwatch player, not too avid, but avid enough for how much I'm playing video games now, I would honestly say no. I had the opportunity to download and play Paragon for free with you guys, and I said no to that. The thing with Battleborn, and I think Overwatch caught onto that because Overwatch has a free-to-play weekend across all systems just
coming
a week
up,
after.
Yeah,
Battleborn.
But I think Battleborn is much more akin to Borderlands than it is Overwatch.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because that's what I said, and you disagreed with me.
No, dude, it was completely opposite.
Battle right?
No.
Anyways, do you have any interest
in Borderlands? Not Overwatch.
No, it's not either one. Anyways, do you have any interest in playing Battleborn?
I really enjoyed it the first time, but
and we own it.
And we own it.
We'll have to play some games, because I've been doing that recently. I've been picking games off of my list that I would otherwise not play or have somehow gotten a bad rap, and just playing them just to see what the hell they're all about. Like, I didn't bring them up on the podcast today because I don't think they're really worth bringing up, but I played some shitty game called Mr. President. It's about Donald Trump. And then I played Bad Rats, which is like the most notorious game on Steam.
Was it that bad?
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. But I think we should have like a day or sometime during the weekend where we play like just
Wednesday
something
night.
Completely random.
Yeah.
Wednesday night.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I'm making a point too. This week it was Ori, but I have these games that I will not uninstall. And I'm just going to go through them, make sure that they're worth not uninstalling. Fallout 4 is the one that yells at me the most.
I can't believe you haven't played
Skyrim.
Fallout 4 more.
I'm just so disappointed.
I'm like right now, I feel like I'm so close to beating Divinity that I can't be fully invested in a Skyrim.
Yeah.
Only one massive, like huge RPG.
I beat Skyrim and Skyrim multiple times. That's
multiple
how much
times.
I played it. Yeah.
Oh, I need to get some tips from you then.
Cool.
All right, so we'll give Battleborn a go. Bobby, you don't own it though, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, you do?
It was in a Humble Bundle.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God, for how much?
Pretty cheap. They have a tiered approach, and I think it was on the second tier.
I feel bad, dude. Like, if they would have come out in a non-Overwatch world.
Yeah, if they had released 2 months
any
earlier.
Any other time. Yeah.
Any other time. Like, they make quality shit. It was just wrong place, wrong time.
Well, that's their fault. That's their...
Is it, though? Did they know how...
They literally could have held on to it, and if they had released today, people had kind of, like, done the Overwatch, and they...
Yeah. True.
But... publishers refuse to hold on to games. Yeah. They finish their game.
Well, the shareholders, right?
I don't know. It just makes no sense.
Big news for me. This was the biggest news item for me. Vive is going to be offering a $220 upgrade for their Vive headset. HTC is going to for their Vive headset, and it's an upgrade. So you can take your existing one. You don't have to get a new one. You don't have to go to Bose and get the new one. You don't have to get new EVGA. Like, you could just add it on. Yes, this makes this over $1,000.
Yes, it does.
But I believe that it's over $1,000 experience. I mean...
But what does this upgrade do?
It makes it wireless. So the biggest problem with the Vive for me was... Especially with
the
archery game, there's a, I forget the name of it, but you have to shoot and dodge, and talk about tendencies, man. Like, fighters talk about tendency. I always dodge right, always. So I would end up in a tornado of cords, like, every time. I can't even dodge anymore because I'm, like, wrapped up. So the biggest problem with VR was that heavy, thick cord. And now, if it works right,
battery operated. How are they going to charge it?
Yeah, so it's battery operated. It's an hour and a half of playtime, and they plan to make a bigger battery coming soon. An hour and a half is pretty solid, but if I was like super avid, like, you know, if you're buying $1,000 peripheral, you can probably afford two batteries. I'm guessing.
I feel like...
How big is this battery?
Yeah,
it's
going to
be hanging on your head.
There's a picture of it if you want to look it up. It didn't look cumbersome.
I feel like all of society is waiting for the next upgrade of batteries. Think of how many things
Everything.
Are just battery dependent. So
Tesla came out with that, those new things.
So you have to go into the thing and unplug, get rid of the umbilical cord and plug this thing in?
Yeah, I believe so.
Is basically how you do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool.
So that means you're buying the $1,000 Vive. Is that what I'm hearing?
So I'm hoping that when this comes out, there will be a package price. Like, maybe if you buy them together, you get them for $900 or $1,000 or something. I don't know. I'm hoping.
Maybe you spend $2,000 and you get stock in the company.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Great point there, Chad.
Yeah, thank you.
Didn't make any sense at all, but sure, let's move on.
Okay.
Dishonored 2 launches with performance issues, and there's going to be a patch in the next few days, and I put blah, 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 because it happens with every fucking launch, and I let's just move on. I'm done. I'm done talking about this.
And that was our excerpt for Dishonored 2, the whole podcast.
Yeah.
It's like,
do you guys want to talk about it? Because I feel like we talk about it every two episodes. Every two episodes, whether it be Batman, whether it be, it doesn't matter. Every two episodes,
because we're second class citizens. Because we're PC gamers.
Not even going to make a sexual innuendo joke about performance issues. Yeah. That's how serious this situation is.
Blah blah blah.
So yeah,
blame it on Trump.
So we're waiting until Dishonored 2 becomes playable on PC before we talk about
and it. We said that we're going to wait till it's on sale anyway.
Okay,
and on sale for Team Tom, so I could play off his account. So
yep,
you know,
that's what I understood as.
Vermintide is going to get a free VR level.
So you can watch Chi in virtual space way off in the distance?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, if you...
I installed that game today to make room for PTR.
It's not even like...
Overwatch.
Oh, it's so bad what she was doing. It was so bad. But it's exacerbated. But it wasn't like she's being a bad person.
No, it was being...
She's on stream. She can't hear us talking.
Yeah.
So we're calling for help us. We're all
doesn't
hanging.
The game also
there's
like...
There's three dudes hanging off a ledge by the fucking one pinky. And she's off killing... like, and she's comment. The worst part was the commentating. Like, she's commentating on what she's doing. She's like, oh, these rats are really easy to kill. Help!
At least it wasn't like Warcraft where she's like fucking mining or picking herbs or something.
No. Oh, and the worst, the true worst part.
My core gamers don't game with me when I'm streaming.
Somehow we pulled it off. We won that match. And she had by far the most kills because she didn't move. She was just killing a nonstop arsenal. So she's like, hey, I'm clearly the best player here. No contribution. None. None.
But you don't sound bitter at all. Like, it's been a week. And you still
I don't like this game anymore because of my experience.
Yeah. She said she uninstalled to install the PTR. So
yeah.
You're not playing with her again for a while.
That just made that game from an 8 to a 9.
Yeah.
This would be a fun game to play as a dwarf in VR.
So you because you just see rat cock coming at your face just constantly.
No, it really it's a totally different game because you're 3 feet lower than you are. Like I said, Captain Gummy couldn't see what was in the treasure chest.
Yeah.
You had to get in a chair. You had to stand on a chair to look down.
That's awesome because that's how a dwarf really should be.
That's awesome for its accuracy.
Yeah.
That's
cool. That was it for the news.
All right. I think that's it for the episode.
What are we playing next week? Anything going on?
I'm going to save Fallout 4, but it's not going to happen.
Fallout 4. Are you actually going to beat Ori, or have you done your fill on Ori?
I want to beat it.
Okay. And you're what, 60% done or so?
Yeah, 60, 70.
Okay, cool. Bobby? Wait. Let me... I'm going to look at the crystal ball. I'm going to determine you're going to play HOTS a bunch.
Bobby.
How about me? I'm predictable,
Bobby, let's
too.
Do a challenge.
You're going to bake cupcakes.
And play Divinity.
You uninstall HOTS.
Yeah, I don't like this challenge.
Oh,
and
man.
Just see what happens.
No, I did. That's what Friday was like for me because I didn't have a graphics card. I couldn't play
but
any
games. But
you
had games. No games, though.
Yeah.
Well, he could play games onboard.
I can't play HOTS all the time. I do want to play other stuff. And I really actually was interested in playing Skyrim, but I thought I had got the special edition free. But turns out you have to have the game and all the DLC to get the upgrade free.
Is
and
it now, cheaper to
how
do
much
that?
Did it cost you?
Well, it's not retroactive. So even if I got the DLC, I have like two out of the three or four DLC. And yeah, because of that, I didn't have it. I was ready to install that. And I was like, I haven't played this game forever. I'd really like, because when I first played Skyrim, I was going into it like Chad was talking about where it's like, okay, what do I do? Give me something to do. And I've never really played in a Elder Scrolls game or what is that? City. What was number four?
Oblivion.
I've never played those games and I didn't realize how open and free it was. So I think going into it with that mindset, just like this is the world I'm going to dick around and maybe do a quest.
Guys, I don't get it. There's a highlight marker next to the map. All right. So you have a list of quests. There's a highlight that tells you which one is the main story quest. How can you not follow that?
No, I'm almost done with the main story quest. I could finish if I wanted to, but it's not really...
It doesn't feel as streamlined.
You feel like you're branched out into all different directions. And it's not just...
Which is what I enjoyed, mostly.
Well, the problem I made was I saw the talent tree, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. No, I want to do that. Oh, I heard the archery was really good. I'm going to do that. So I ended up branching out in too many different directions and not really becoming proficient in one area, and I think that was a big problem.
You can't reset your points?
I don't think you can in Skyrim. You can't reset your.
You can download a mod to do it.
Is it like Divinity then, where you're almost forced to reroll?
No, I don't know. I would just like to start new.
There's mods that take 1 second to download.
Okay.
Way to do that. On Steam. That's not even a real mod. Like you can just get the Steam ones.
Okay.
You can do whatever
PC
you
PC life.
Whatever
yes.
you want.
That's
PC
why I don't like it.
Because
you can do
PC
whatever you want.
PC gaming is life.
All right, fine.
It's the same
set your own parameters.
Like Gary mod.
So what you're saying is you would not have fun in a...
correct.
The holodeck. You would not have fun in a holodeck.
Yes, correct.
Because you could set your own rules.
No, I would want a list of what I could choose from, and I hope they were all professionally made, and I'd want to select the one that I'd want. Two chicks at the same time. I don't know. Whatever that one is. I would just want to... I
lost so much respect for you this episode. All right, let's wrap this bitch up. Bobby, you got anything profound to say?
Life is a highway.
I
want to go my way.
The mollusk has the largest penis to body ratio of any animal in the animal kingdom. That is my profound statement for the day.
What's interesting is what are we? We're apes. We have the biggest by far than any other ape. It's fantastic. By far.
Okay.
Chi, you got anything?
Oh, I got one more. However you say.
This was Chi's 1 second
to
shine.
Okay. It's okay.
Whatever the reverse of palindrome, however you spell that.
Yeah.
Emo, whatever.
Yeah.
That is an actual word, and it means... If you the opposite of
palindrome?
No, the opposite word. If you flip the word backwards,
Chi, you got anything profound to say?
Okay.
No, as soon as it starts talking about dicks, that's the only thing like on my mind now. So
Max is in for a special night.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking for Bobby, Chad, Chi, and myself. Food poisoning titties don't sound very appealing at all.
But dicks do.
Yeah, let's go with dicks. Let's go with
That's my turn.
Hard
mollusk. Mollusky.
Huh?
Mollusk.
Speaking for mollusk. Bobby, Chad, and Emilio. That's motherfucking dicks, y'all.
Yeah, hard dicks.